This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets,
and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Thanks for listening to the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 12 to 3 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio.
No offense to the Jets and Browns or the Bengals and Ravens, but Thursday Night Football is now big. It is for real, Kelvin, because it's on Fox tonight with a matchup that we could see in the NFC Championship game as all eyes will be on LA, Rams and Vikings to start week four.
How dare you disrespect Baker Mayfield and Sam Darnold? How dare you?
It was a great appetizer. They were delicious mozzarella sticks in the appetizer and leading us up to what we've got in Thursday Night Football. But this is the real deal. Let's be honest. This is why Fox's schedule starts now. There wasn't a coincidence that Ravens-Bengals were an NFL Network-only broadcast. There's a reason why the Fox package starts now, and it's for games like this tonight. When you look at what the Rams have done, off to a 3-0 start, if you have power rankings, many people feel that the Rams are a team that are atop that power rankings, right? 3-0, maybe you have Kansas City up there, but really it's been all about the Rams. But tonight, for a game being in LA, for being on a Thursday night, it seems to me that it's much more about the Minnesota Vikings than it is about the team that's hosting the game and all of their star players, just for how things have not only played out in this first 3 weeks, but how things could play out over the next 14 weeks, if you will, in the National Football League to see the Rams are going to be okay. I'm not too sure about the Minnesota Vikings.
You're right about that, Dan. I mean, we already know and have the expectations when it comes to the Rams. I mean, they're like Tom Hanks being in the movie, right? You already know. I already know what Tom Hanks is going to bring in this movie. I need to know about the other actor. What is he or she going to bring in this film? So we know. Even if they lose, we'll just say, look, we didn't expect the Rams to go 16-0. So the Rams just, barring injuries and something catastrophic happening. But with the Vikings, the pressure comes because of the sneaky success of last year. And then the swapping of the quarterbacks. And now the pressure is on the $90-something million man of Kirk Cousins. We're saying, all right, now this is your team. They were a good team last year. They almost had a chance to go to the Super Bowl. Don't blow this for them. So you're right. The pressure becomes on that team and that defense. Can they continue to live up to what we expected from them last year, this year?
How things have changed in the NFC West, too, for the Rams, just with the Jimmy Garoppolo injury. Yeah. I mean, it's not going to be a cakewalk, but I think cruise control is a pretty good analogy of what the Rams are going to have. They're the best team in that division. There's not much there. To your point about barring injuries or what could happen, there are some injuries that the Rams have tonight that make it even more important for Kirk Cousins and the Minnesota Vikings, because you don't have Aqib Talib. Marcus Peters, I don't think, going to go tonight with his calf injury that he had last Sunday against the Chargers. So you've got some areas of weakness on the Rams. And that's why it's not even a Vikings thing, Calvin. It is a Kirk Cousins thing. When you look at what he has gone through over the last couple of years in Washington and the spotlight that he has been in, now coming over to the Minnesota Vikings, signing the $80 million deal that he did, Vikings fans aren't looking at a 1-1-1 schedule, record, that, if you will, of the first 3 weeks of the schedule. They're looking at 3-0. Maybe 2-1, if you will, if you want to say, okay, maybe the game at Green Bay is difficult. But if you go 1-2-1 here, a lot of Viking fans, I think, are going to start scratching their head saying, what did we really get when we got Kirk Cousins? I think this is a huge game for the Viking signal caller tonight.
You're right when it comes to Kirk Cousins. But the funny thing about this is, outside of the Patriots and maybe give or take two other teams, this is just the NFL, where you're great one season, you're either mediocre or bad the next. There's very few teams that sustain greatness or being very good. But as a fan base, we're not going to be rational about that. No. We're going to say,
why would we?
We're going to say the Vikings were good last year. We have a new quarterback. We should be better. And you're right. The pressure is going to go on Kirk Cousins. It's difficult. It's going to be a difficult matchup because, as you mentioned, the Rams, not only if you want to go power rankings, are they the number one team? It's how they're the number one team. There's really no weakness. Like, they had the best special teams. Well, Hecker, he was their best player for a couple of years, unfortunately.
The only Pro Bowl, the only Rams helmet you saw in Honolulu was on fourth down.
You're like, who's, you're eating snacks and sitting next to your wife, like, who's this guy? But he's here for the Rams?
Yeah.
But my point is, so this team, the Rams are loaded on defense, special teams, offense. So even if the Vikings were 3-0, it's a very difficult win to come by. But all of the pressure, as you mentioned, is going to be on Kirk Cousins. You're supposed to be this leader. You're supposed to take this team to the next level. Case Keenum, randomly out of the blue, had a really good season. You're supposed to be the better player. But I would caution Viking fans. And again, the record, that's why you don't want to lose the game, especially last week to the Bills.
Yeah.
So that you can say, okay, we lost to the Rams. That's a good loss, if you will. Not to go college football on you. But the issue is, really, if they think about it long term, this is the type of team that usually wins the Super Bowl. It's with a quarterback that you go, he's okay to good. He doesn't make a lot of mistakes. And this defense is very good. And usually you have some semblance of a running game. And this is historically kind of the team that wins a Super Bowl. Look at Ben Roethlisberger when he won in the beginning of his career.
Yeah, Super Bowl 40.
It wasn't because of him. It was just, don't hurt us, don't cost us. Look at this defense. We got fast Willie Parker. You got Jerome Bettis in his running game. Look at Russell Wilson. Look at that Legion of Boom defense. Look at Tom Brady the first few Super Bowls. It wasn't because of Tom Brady alone. He was just solid, and then they had that the whole team as a whole. So my point is, with the Vikings and the fan base, don't overreact too much, and I know they're going to, and put it all on Kirk Cousins, because this is still the type of team, whether it be this year or next year, that can get you there.
Here's the issue, and I agree with you. To win a Super Bowl, recent history in the NFL has showed us you just have to be good enough.
Right.
If you've got one quarterback outside of Tom Brady, or one player is not going to get you to the Super Bowl and win a Super Bowl. And Brady had a lot of help along the way, even in the most recent ones where he's been the best quarterback in the NFL. When you look at constructing a team like a Russell Wilson team around the Seahawks in his second year, Ben Roethlisberger in his second year with the Pittsburgh Steelers, there was stuff around them. Kirk Cousins isn't in his second year. And Kirk Cousins has enough baggage behind him, whether it be starting when he was drafted in the same draft class as RG3, that there's already some friction, that there was already a spotlight on him. There has been enough of a spotlight on Kirk Cousins where I think he doesn't get the benefit of the doubt as a Roethlisberger or a Russell Wilson would be. And the thing about Cousins is this, is to your point of the Vikings are a better defensive team than the Washington Redskins were. The Vikings should have a better running game, although it's suspect with some of their offensive line. Their receiving core is better than what he had in Washington. True. There's no doubt about that. All of that has improved. The issue now, though, becomes does Kirk Cousins take what he was in D.C. and move over to and continue to be that guy in Minnesota? And if you're off to a 1-2-1 start, with a win over a 49ers team that had Jimmy Garoppolo throwing three interceptions, that's tough to take. And this is an opportunity for Cousins to shake that label. We looked up because primetime Kirk Cousins has been not so good in recent history. Kirk Cousins on games that aren't on a Saturday or Sunday, weeknight games, 1-10.
Oh.
So that's Monday night football. That's Thursday football. That's they had a Sunday Thanksgiving. Yeah. Well, it would just be the Monday and Thursday nights. Okay. But the point being, even when in prime time and in the big games, they have one win over the Giants on a Thanksgiving. Ooh. Kirk Cousins does. So that's why I think tonight is important for him just to show and to show those Vikings fans, you know what, things are different. I'm not the guy that you may have heard the bad things out. Maybe it's like somebody, you know, We don't know each other well, but we've crossed paths, mm-hmm. have talked and stuff like that. You know what? Dan eats a lot of potato chips. Sure, I've got a bag of potato chips next to me, but it's going to be my goal to not eat the whole bag in the next 10 minutes. That's what Kirk Cousins' goal is tonight, to show like, look, I'm a good quarterback. I'm going to show you this little bit right here on why things are different. And that's why it's important because, Kelvin, if it's the flip side of it, that magnifying glass that he's got gets bigger and bigger. And if you're all of a sudden you're saying, oh, maybe it was the same guy, that's what worries me about tonight. And that's what, it's not about the Rams tonight. It's so about the Vikings, and it's so much about Kirk Cousins.
First of all, I'd be disappointed if it took you longer than 15 minutes, 10 minutes to eat those chips.
By the way, chips have gone up like 40 cents in like the last 3 months. I have no idea. They were $1.49, now they're $1.89.
Wait, really?
Yeah, look at this. $1.89.
Oh, bag has always been $1.49. Yeah. And every now and again, right? You can get it two for $2.22.
You'd think, but what not anymore.
Well, did our paychecks go up 40 cents? I need to know.
No,
we need
not going to happen.
Inflation around here.
And I don't have Kirk Cousins' money to buy Ruffles at leisure. Like, I've got to be smart with it.
I'm not mad. Yeah, I'm not mad at that. I'll see your chips, by the way. And I may go Ritz crackers with the peanut butter in them.
Ooh,
I may do
not
that.
Bad.
Over.
Not
we'll
bad.
See. We'll see how that goes around 1:30. But let me say this. You just brought up an interesting stat. You said he's what, 1-10 over on a big
night,
prime time
games,
weeknight
games. Thursday, Monday.
And then
night.
I heard a stat that he's, I think, like, is it 4-13 or 15 or something like that against teams where are 500 and above. So at what point now am I going to get upset with the general manager or the front office of the Vikings saying, hey, you've seen when it matters, primetime games doesn't produce. Against teams are 500 or better, which is who you're going to play in the postseason, doesn't produce. Why did you guys give all this money to him? So, and that never happens when we look at general managers.
Rick Spielman's
and
not worried about that. Yeah,
but that would be something I'd be concerned about from that end of why did we bring this guy in? If to your point, Dan, he doesn't show up in these primetime big moments.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at noon Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific, on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Let's ask Robert Klemko, the MMQB.com. Robert, thanks so much for coming on today. We appreciate it. How are you?
I'm well. How are you guys?
We are doing well. Is tonight a put-up-or-shut-up game for Kirk Cousins? I know it's early on in his tenure in Minnesota, but let's be real. This team is 1-1-1 with a big game against the Rams. Is it time for Kirk Cousins to show that he's worth that contract?
Well, you know, put-up-or-shut-up, I think, implies that, you know, if he doesn't do something in this game or if he doesn't have success in this game, that the organization is going to lose faith or something like that. And I don't think that's the case. I mean, I think that a lot of people understood that with Kirk Cousins, his one big flaw in Washington was that he didn't really do that well under pressure. I mean, he had some of the worst analytics, worst PFF numbers when pressured, when there was a rusher in his face. And he went to a team that had a poor and rebuilding offensive line. And so they helped the run game in Minnesota could mitigate some of that. And it has at times. But, you know, I wouldn't say it's put up or shut up. I think that they have to at least invest in the offseason some free agency money, some high draft picks, into building an offensive line that can give Kirk time because they know that he struggles under pressure.
Well, I need you to answer me this. We talk a lot about Kirk Cousins, and rightfully so because he's the quarterback, and I get that. But we got to hop back in the DeLorean, Robert, and go back to last week. What the heck happened where they let the Bills run up the score so high on them? I need to understand that defense is supposed to be top one, two, or three, and that surely didn't look like it last week.
One of the most bizarre upsets that I've ever seen in an NFL regular season game, and the thing that gets overlooked about that game is that LeSean McCoy is out, right? So they're doing it with a backup running back. And one of the reasons I love the NFL is you back up a team up against a wall and you say that they can't hack it and they might go 1-15, 0-16. And these guys have a certain amount of pride that can often lift mediocre teams over favorites. And I think that's such a great thing about the league. The one thing when I rewatched that game that I noticed was that the Bills never had second and long. It was always second and seven, second and seven, second and six. They never had third and long. It was always third and three. And they were great at staying ahead of the sticks and staying on schedule. And they established a running game early. And I think not having Everson Griffen around or not having Everson Griffen in the right frame of mind has a big deal, has a lot to do with that.
Robert Klepko joining us here on Fox Sports Radio. He's Kevin Washington. I'm Dan Beyer. Was it maybe just the fact that they overlooked Buffalo because of this big game on Thursday night? Could that be a factor in what happened in week three?
You know, I don't think you can overlook anybody in the NFL. And I know that there are teams that will say afterwards, hey, maybe we were looking too far in the future. But I've never seen or heard of a Mike Zimmer team saying that. I think they may have gotten caught off guard scheme-wise. They may have gotten caught off guard in that run game, not expecting much out of LeSean McCoy's backup. But I don't think that there's a team in the NFL that's looking 2 weeks ahead and saying, oh, well, we've got this one in the bag.
He's Robert Klemko of the MMQB.com joining us here on Fox Sports Radio.
Robert, let me ask you, switch gears here, to a signing from the Panthers, which stunned a lot of people, and that is free agent safety Eric Reed. Of course, we know that he has been side-by-side with Colin Kaepernick the last few years. A lot of people are saying, we're thinking that, hey, you know, his days in the NFL were numbered, were gone, in fact. And then today, we wake up to the news that he signed. How did we get here, and just your thoughts on it?
Yeah, you know, I heard a lot of interesting rumors about Eric Reed, and I didn't really know what to believe. I heard he was asking for $3 to $4 million a year, and that was the reason that he wasn't being signed. I heard he was considering retirement due to concussion, and that was a reason he wasn't being signed. But what I heard from people that I really trusted was that there were a lot of teams who understood that Eric Reed had a powerful voice in the movement that Colin Kaepernick started. And while there are players who have kept their jobs on teams despite their protests during the national anthem of police brutality and racial injustice in the United States, none of them have been as outspoken and as powerful in their message as Reed has. And that's what was keeping him out of NFL locker rooms and out of a job. And then he gets signed today by the Carolina Panthers, and it's reported that they didn't ask him if he would continue his protests or not. It was strictly a football decision, and they were at peace with however he chose to approach the national anthem, which is fascinating to me because for so long I think that that was generally accepted as the reason that he wasn't on a roster. So I think the one thing that we'll look for as outsiders is, A, you know, what kind of contribution is he going to make? Because he's got to justify being on a football team now after being on the shelf for so long. B, is he going to continue his protest? And C, what kind of impact is he going to have on the locker room? Are there guys that were kind of on the fence about protesting that now that they've met and talked to Eric Reed and had this influence feel more courageous about doing so? So there's a lot to watch there in Carolina for the next few weeks.
How much does David Tepper, being the owner of that team, play into this move? Because he's the one that spoke out a couple of weeks ago and said, listen, this is not the case. What you think is reality is not reality. How much does Tepper, now being the owner of Carolina, have to do with this signing?
Well, I think it's huge. I mean, he's set up to be, or he's rumored to become, one of the more liberal voices across the NFL as opposed to the old guard, and even the owner he replaced. I mean, I don't think anybody can imagine a scenario where the Carolina Panthers would have signed a Colin Kaepernick or an Eric Reed a year ago. But I think some owners give their GMs permission to make strict football decisions and to not take into account the politics, whereas there are a lot of owners that did not want Eric Reed in the NFL. I would not rule out the possibility that the league said to David Tepper, do us a solid, because we've got a large portion of NFL fans who sympathize with the protests, who sympathize with Colin Kaepernick and Aaron Reed, who are looking at the safety play in this league and saying, how is one of the top 15 or 20 strong run-stopping strong safeties in the NFL unemployed right now? And I think that from a PR perspective, it probably helps the NFL in a small way to have Eric Reed on a roster.
Hey, Robert, I'm going to switch gears to the Patriots, and they lose to the Lions, and they get beat down, and it's the first time they've lost a couple of games in a row, I think since 2002. But let's talk about now Julian Edelman coming back, Josh Gordon possibly being able to be used. What do you expect from their offense now with those two guys if they're both in the lineup?
Right. Well, I think with Tom Brady over the years, we've always kind of overlooked a lack of offensive line talent because he's been able to get the ball out of his hands so quickly. And the converse of that is that there are offensive lines that we criticize and say the team can never get it right. And part of that is because the quarterback's not getting the ball out of his hands quickly enough. And so I think that we've come to a point with the Patriots where they do have this lack of offensive weapons and guys that can get open immediately versus press man coverage, and then you start to see the fallibility of that offensive line. So now that you have Gordon, now that you have Edelman, I think you'll see the quick game come to life in New England. I'd be shocked if they lost three in a row.
They are 6.5-point favorites over a 3-0 Dolphins team this weekend. There's still faith in New England, even if Rob Gronkowski's brother is saying that his brother is frustrated. Robert Klemko joining us here on the Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. He's Calvin Washington. I'm Dan Byer in for Doug. Are we going to see any change to these roughing the passer calls? There's a reported conference call next week with the competition committee. Do you see any change in the near future, Robert, with how things have been called so far?
You know, I think that they will try to tweak this thing because it's now impacting the outcomes of games. And what was baffling to me was that the NFL official operations Twitter account tweeted out a justification of the last Clay Matthews hit. And I don't think any football fan or player looked at that hit and thought that it was inappropriate or that he was trying to drive the player into the ground. I mean, all of this came about when we lost Aaron Rodgers and his collarbone was broken in a game. And so you're looking for players to at least try to roll off and not pile drive quarterbacks. And they're not calling it that way. And they need to provide, I think, some clarity in the minds of a lot of players and coaches as to what's appropriate and what's not. Because the problem is you try to sack a Russell Wilson or a Ryan Tannehill or some of these guys that are really mobile and strong and can move, and you have to drive them to the ground.
Right,
or
yeah.
Else they're going to come out of your grasp. So, yeah, I think something is going to change on this. I don't think that the NFL will continue to allow games to be decided this way.
No, that William Hayes injury is just, if there's anything to change it, maybe that is. Robert Klemko, read him on the MMQB.com. Find him on Twitter at Robert Klemko. Robert, we appreciate the time again. Enjoy week four.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Thanks, Robert.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at noon Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
This is what Ezekiel Elliott had to say about the Cowboys' struggles so far this season.
I would love to see it more, but I just think the nature of the games we played in these first three games is we've been down. We've been having to try to come back. I mean, when you run out of time in the game, you can't just be sitting there trying to pound it. You can't have nine-minute drives when you need to score in three possessions. You know what I mean? So, like, you got to conserve that clock and got try to score as fast as you can.
Now, Ezekiel Elliott's talking about what the problems the Dallas Cowboys have had and why maybe they haven't been successful. We know what the Cowboys are predicated on, and that's the running game. And that's, to me, Calvin, that's been the issue with Dak Prescott is they only have one way to win. Like, we just talked about the Vikings, and we know that they can do it with defense. And if Kirk Cousins can get hot and get it to Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen, then the Vikings can win a shootout. The Cowboys aren't like that. And that seems to be, like, of Zeke right there, of just talking about what they need to do to win. I know he's trying to be positive, but to me that sheds more light on the problems with Dak Prescott and what the Cowboys have on their offense.
Dan, all I have to do is think about Dez Bryant's Twitter rants. and some of his Twitter rants have talked about how stagnant the offense is, how the lack of creativity, and just how this offense is, it's not, there's no big plays. It's not explosive. And he mentions that. Now, I disagree with him thinking that he would be the answer.
Yeah, right.
You know,
yeah.
And I do think he has more in the tank than we give credit, but I don't think he's just simply the answer. But you're right. When you let go of a Dez and you don't replace him with anyone explosive, you don't go out and find a way to get a Josh Gordon, for example, or something, which that would have been very Dallas-like. And now it's like you have these receivers we really don't know. Coles Beasley works when you have a Jason Witten still in the league. Mm-hmm. You have a Dez Bryant on the outside. But now if he's your number one guy, that's scary. And you're right. And so now the pressure becomes on the running game with Ezekiel Elliott. And everyone knows that going into the game. So and now we want to see with Dak, okay, where is the next level for you? We saw your rookie year and even a bit the second year. You have talent. We know you can play in this league. But where can you take it up that other level? Where are you going to be like a Russell Wilson where it doesn't matter who's in the backfield?
Sure.
Doesn't matter who's on the outside. We still believe he can get the job done. And that's really the difference between those two.
It also helps when there's eight guys in the box that you're trying to stop Ezekiel Elliott, which is what the Cowboys had in their season where they ended up getting home field, ended up losing to the Packers in the divisional playoffs. But when they win 13 games, they were up on teams. So they wore them down. Those four-yard carries became 7, 8, and 9 behind a stellar offensive line. Now 60% of that offensive line is gone. You have defenses with Travis Frederick's injury. Ronald Leary ended up leaving. Doug Free retired. Now you've got more on the shoulders of Dak Prescott. But now if you even take a step back to a bigger picture, it's on Ezekiel Elliott and maybe what the Cowboys put together in taking a running back high. And I teased Le'Veon Bell before because now it's how much different are the Pittsburgh Steelers with James Conner than they are with Le'Veon Bell? Now we see injuries to Leonard Fournette in the first couple of games of this season. He's only played a half for the Jaguars, if that. He's out with a hamstring injury. When you talk about investment into running backs, whether it be draft picks, whether it be contracts, David Johnson got his new deal and the Cardinals are atrocious. All of this shows that for the argument of investing into the running back position, all of these instances show that it's not wise to do that. And so now you've got a Le'Veon Bell holdout where he wants all of his money. I don't know if Pittsburgh's going to be significantly better with Le'Veon Bell. I don't think they're significantly worse without him. So as I just see this and you hear Ezekiel Elliott talk about them being a one-dimensional team, well, maybe they're one-dimensional because of the amount that they invested in him in a first-round pick. I just think the value of running backs is being more magnified from what we've seen in the first 3 to 4 weeks of the regular season, whether it be on the field or off the field in Le'Veon Bell's situation.
I think you're going to have to find a way to be creative if you're the general manager, front office, exec of a team. Because I'll give you an example where it almost seems as if this team is turning Oprah Winfrey on us. Like, you're going to get a big check. You're going to get a big check. And they're just going down the line. That's here in L.A., the Rams. They pay their guy, Todd Gurley. They've paid defensive players. They're getting, you know, one and dones with all these defensive backs. Hey, Peters and Aqib, come on over. Come on over. Everybody get paid. Brandon Cooks, hey, here's a bunch of money. We're all like, whoa, okay. That's, you know, for a smaller receiver. Okay, but do you? And I think what they're showing us is until I have to pay that quarterback, I don't mind. And even Aaron Donald got his money.
Mm-hmm.
Until I have to pay that quarterback, you know, I'm willing to pay everyone else. And I think you're going to see more teams try to leverage being good and having quality players while still being on that rookie contract with their quarterback. Because and I mentioned some of these earlier, Dan, when you think about Russell Wilson, when you think about a Joe Flacco, when Colin Kaepernick almost won a Super Bowl, got to the Super Bowl. I mean, we've had examples, Ben Roethlisberger, where these young guys come into the league, these quarterbacks, and again, just don't hurt us. Everything else around you is good, and we'll be able to have some success. So when it comes to running backs, I think some will continue to get paid as long as I don't have to pay the quarterback.
I look at what the Steelers have done, and I know James Conner hasn't been great on the ground. He had a good week one against the Browns, and we saw late in the Buccaneers game he had a couple of runs to allow them to run out the clock. I just don't think that a Pittsburgh team is 3-0 as opposed to 1-1-1 with Le'Veon Bell. And I look at the Cowboys, and I look at what Arizona's doing now that David Johnson has his money, and it doesn't add up. And when you see the effect that an Alvin Kamara has with the Saints, it's a lot about fit, you know. So the Saints end up making a move to draft him because that specific running back works. Kareem Hunt with the Kansas City Chiefs, all of these things, and as you see how it's playing out now, whether it be injury, whether it be lack of offensive line, whether it be just pure absence with not having a contract or not happy, all of these teams are affected by these running backs, but none of them are really, there's not an overall difference. And that's where I think, like, now we're getting into the National Football League. The next best running back is going to get a deal that's more than David Johnson's, and it's going to be more than Todd Gurley's. But I just don't see, like, a huge jump that you would want with Khalil Mack like he did in his deal. And I think teams are just going to be more and more reluctant to want to pay a running back considering how things have gone. I mean, even the Giants, Saquon Barkley, we thought was going to be a difference maker. Realistically, the Giants have to get everything they can out of Saquon Barkley in the next 7 years. And so far in the first three games, they're 1-2. You know,
I mean, I think the best example of that would be Adrian Peterson. I mean, he's arguably, you know, there's so many great backs over the years. But in my opinion, from what I saw, and my favorite athlete of all time is Barry Sanders. So full disclosure, he's the best running back for me. But if someone said the best running back they ever saw was Adrian Peterson, that's not far-fetched. I mean, for an eight-year run, he was just whatever you wanted. Power, speed, can catch. Not a great catcher, but can catch. Breakaway, you know, knocking guys over, everything you needed. From a back, he was that, and they never really went anywhere. They were never good. They had a couple of good seasons, but, you know, they weren't. You never looked at them as Super Bowl contenders year in, year out because of him. So to add to your point with these running backs, and again, let's even go with my guy, Barry Sanders, as great as he was, other than a year or two, they weren't that great, and they had arguably the best running back of all time. So it's unfortunate. The only way I'll say it is I think with a great running back and the guys you mentioned, Le'Veon Bell, at least you can feel as though I know this component of the game is taken care of, and I feel comfortable in this, and you kind of have that position on lock. Like, this is, I know what we'll bring to the game for the next 4 or 5 years with this guy.
There's another part of the Le'Veon Bell thing as well, of just a guy who ends up, you know, not happy with his contract, and even if he gets paid, when are you going to not be happy again? Like, that's another concern now, because the Steelers' offer, I thought, was fair. It may not have been what he wanted, $70 million over 5 years, $30 million up front. I know that he wanted more. But realistically, and you see in these other contracts, not even with running backs, but guys, Earl Thomas in the last year of his deal. Well, 4 years ago, if you were being told you were making $8 million at the back end of your contract, you'd probably be pretty happy, especially when you got your, you know, signing bonus of $9.5 million at the front of that, along with your annual salary. So as these things play out, let's just put it this way. Le'Veon Bell just may never be happy. Let's just put it that way. Even 1 year in, if he gets paid, he'll probably still want to be paid more.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Joining us now, as she's focused on covering the sidelines of the Minnesota Vikings, Erin Andrews joins us here on Fox Sports Radio. Hey, Erin, thanks so much for coming on and taking the time today.
Hi, I love how it's the debut. It is the debut on Fox, but goodness, Joe Troy, Christina Pink, and I, we've been doing this for about, 4 weeks now, so we're not debuting anything.
And this is kind of, we were talking about last week was such drama in the game against the Browns with Baker Mayfield
how
coming
awesome
in.
How awesome was that, by the way?
Yeah, it magnificent.
That was like closest to college environment that I felt in the NFL for the first time. I had done, you know, College Game Day and worked on ESPN covering college football forever. And when he came in, I mean, you could sense it. I remember I was talking to the PR person for the Jets because I was covering the Jets sideline, and they didn't know that Tyrod went down. And I said, Baker's coming in. And she just said, oh, God. And you could just feel it. Like, I had goosebumps all over my hairy arms. I was just like, holy cow. And it was reminding me, of SEC country, just people getting hyped up.
Did you enjoy the atmosphere afterwards when they opened up, was it the Budweiser, and they opened up all the beer?
I got to tell you, the one crappy part about being on the sidelines, there's many great things about it. You get the best seats in the house. You get to hear what the players are saying to each other, the coaches, yada, yada. No bathrooms, which really stink. But no beer fridges. So I was looking everywhere, and all my buddies, my husband was texting, like, try to find a beer. I wanted to try to find three of them, to be honest with you, but no fridges. But it was a cool scene, and we were all back at the hotel kind of watching, you know, the footage and everything and all the fans outside of the stadium. So again, it just reminded me of a cool college atmosphere. It was really fun to be a part of. And actually, this, I know we're supposed to be talking about the game tonight, but I have to tell you, I was talking to somebody in apparel sales, and they said what was so amazing about the moment, you know, he's not in, he may be coming in. The way his jersey sales spiked up going into that second half and then post game was incredible. Like, the stats were amazing.
Those number six jerseys are going to be everywhere in Cleveland.
Because
it's a tough purchase, especially when you're investing the money and you want to make sure a guy sticks around. They're going to be worn. And by the way, Todd Bowles probably needed a beer after that game as well. Sorry, Aaron, it was true. Tough time for the Jets. Aaron Andrews joining us here on Fox Sports Radio. How tough is it for the Vikings right now at 1-1-1? Is there any panic? Is there any concern off to this start this season?
I think the biggest thing that the Vikings are upset about is, you know, the fact the Rams played at home on a Sunday, and it's the Vikings that have to travel, you know, what is it, 1,900 miles mm-hmm. to get out here to Los Angeles. We spoke on the phone with Mike Zimmer on Tuesday just about how he's been so annoyed with the fact that ever since he's taken over in Minnesota, they have never had a home game on a short week. They ended up flying out here on Tuesday night. I think they practiced out at Anthony Barr's high school, practice here in town yesterday. It's been interesting. This is my first season calling Thursday night games. Obviously, it's interesting talking to teams about how they prep for it. They really kind of want to turn the page, and that's also great for the Vikings right now, too. They want to forget about everything that happened with the Bills and move on. So if there is a bright side to a short week where they do have to travel across the country and come out here to gorgeous California, is that they can get rid of and get that bad taste out of their mouth quickly. They hope to.
Well, one of the things that everyone was excited as far as Viking fans about was the return of Dalvin Cook. It hasn't been great so far this season.
Yeah.
And in order to help Kirk Cousins, they're going to have to get a running game. A, is Dalvin Cook going to play? And then B, what are they saying about being able to get that running game started?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I'm going under an underpass right now. I'm on my way to the Coliseum. Don't know if I'll lose you guys. But I heard earlier in the week, Dalvin was saying he is going to play. And then when we had Mike Zimmer on the phone on Tuesday, he said it was going to be a game-time decision. And then in just reading articles today, it said that Dalvin kind of retracted a little bit his excitement for playing tonight. It was interesting. I was just at a commercial shoot with Terrell Davis, and I was talking to him because Dalvin is obviously dealing with a hamstring injury. And I was asking Terrell, you know, when you have these hamstring injuries, Mike Zimmer had mentioned to us, you know, do we play him tonight on a short week and, you know, kind of prolong, keep this injury up, make it a 4-week injury? And Terrell said he blew out his hammy when he was in college, and that was just something throughout his entire career he kept having to nurse. So he said these hammy injuries do obviously get running backs and become such a nagging issue that's probably, if he doesn't go tonight, that's something they're trying to do. Is, I mean, hello, we have them next week against Philadelphia. So this schedule just gets tougher and tougher for the Minnesota Vikings. And if you know, they don't want him going out on short week, you know, they're probably obviously looking ahead to playing the Eagles.
Aaron Andrews joining us here on Fox Sports Radio. Aaron, I know you're going to the stadium. Just a couple of more questions, specifically with the Vikings.
Lay them on me.
All right, good, because you're going to be on their sidelines tonight. But how much has this Everson Griffin situation been a distraction? Because some of the players said that on Sunday they didn't even know the status of what went on Saturday. Did Mike Zimmer or any other player express concern over what's going on with Everson Griffin?
Oh, of course. And it's, you know, as much as everybody is worried about a football game and the keys and how do you slow down this Rams, you know, explosive offense, you also take a minute, and I've been sick to my stomach all week. I will speak for my crew and myself. We love Everson a lot, and I've become friends with him. We had the Thanksgiving game last year when his wife had the baby and did the interview, and I'm talking to him as he's FaceTiming her, and I did a sit-down interview leading up to the Green Bay game last year when Aaron Rodgers went down with a broken collarbone. Everson Griffin is a fantastic individual, and regardless of what's going on off the field, I think that's where everybody's focus is, that they just want this guy to get the help he needs and get better. And that's what Mike Zimmer had said to us on the phone, was that, you know, he has faith in this team getting Everson the support and the help he needs. And right now their thoughts and prayers are with him off the field. They know the adjustments and the keys that they, you know, have to make, or adjustments they have to make on the field. But I think the hardest part of this whole situation, I was sitting next to Troy Aikman last night at dinner, I just said, think about what this team has gone through over the last couple of months. Their offensive line coach passes away suddenly, right before the preseason mm-hmm. or right before the regular season. I mean, he's in the media guys, for goodness sakes. And then Everson Griffin, who is a team captain, is, you know, having his issues off the field. So these are two big things for this team to kind of deal with off the field as well. And you'd like to say, oh, our focus is on the field, but you know those guys, their thoughts and their prayers are with him.
Yeah, a very, very sad thing. And it'll be, you know, even more telling to see what comes out of this as far as the help that he gets, whether it's from the team or for something maybe deeper going on. We know all the brain injuries that we've had, the reports about over the last few years in the NFL. But I will get back to on the field. Aaron, when you talk about the Vikings and they're looking at the Rams, you mentioned that explosive offense, but it's really everything about the Rams. I mean, it's the running game, it's the passing,
right?
It's the defense.
And I live here, and I want this city to get hyped up. It is so awesome what they're doing out here.
Okay, you're about to make me biased. I live here, too. Let me go get a Rams hat real quick.
But I mean, it is so cool. Like, it's so exciting. Sean McVay, I was saying this to Troy last night. He almost has the energy that, you know, Pete Carroll had when he was here at USC. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, he was so excited. Everybody wanted to be on the sideline. Snoop Dogg was on the sideline. Will Ferrell, I mean, I used to cover all those games. That was such a good time. And, I want people to get pumped up. I know LeBron's here, but come on. Let's get pumped about the Rams.
Well, I mean, I think people will be pumped, but seeing LeBron in purple and gold, Aaron, I don't know. That's going to change everything around L.A. But with the
come on. How about those L.A. Kings? Let's go, L.A.
With the Vikings looking at this Rams team, where do you think they feel maybe they have an advantage or an area where they can kind of maybe attack the Rams, whether it be offensively or defensively?
I think it's with the corners, right? The corners tonight, we don't know the status of Marcus Peters. Again, that's not my sideline, so I don't want to talk out of turn, but Talib is on IR. You guys get the behind the scenes right now. My car is trying to figure out where to drop me off. It is always such chaos when you get to town. I just want to go tailgate. He has no idea. This will be good. I'll walk across the parking lot. But I mean, I was talking to Terrell Davis leading up to this, and he goes, I think you want to try to run the ball, against this defensive front, but you got to try to take advantage of these corners here, and hopefully Kirk Cousins can do that. Oh, now they're asking for credentials. I have none of that.
Oh, well, I think you're Aaron Andrews.
I'm going to roll down the window and tell the guy.
This is great.
I'm doing the game time on radio live. I just wanted to know if you knew where we were dropped off. Fox? Yes. Oh, yeah. Sounds good. All right.
Did you get in?
No. I'm not in. I think I get to go home and watch this on air, debut on Fox, and I don't make the cut.
No, you got to get in.
Story, Aaron Andrews may not make it to the Vikings-Rams game at the Coliseum.
Oh, they have my credentials. I'm good.
All right.
You're good.
Nice. She made it.
We're banking on you getting in. You know what I was going to do? Dan, I was going to get a black staff shirt and just say I was part of her staff. And just like wear that shirt, and then I can get in the game as well.
I got to tell you guys, it's a little warm here, too. I mean, 525 kick. I'm very, very into the weather. It's like going to be about 79 degrees at kick. Will that be a factor, yes or no, for these Minnesota Vikings? What do you guys think?
Absolutely. Yeah, I think there's so much going against the Vikings, whether it be the three-hour flight.
That's my sideline.
I know. Hey, Ben Maller on this network always says the better stories in the loser locker room. I think there's much against the Vikings tonight. I just think I think the Heat could play a part of it as well.
It's a hot one today here.
That's my new one.
Yeah,
I'm
for week two, with being dehydrated. I mean, who knows?
Oh,
I'm using that from here on out. We've heard that's my quarterback. I'm using Aaron Andrews. That's my sideline.
That's my sideline.
I would do 15 crunches after, you know? He wasn't doing crunches during that.
Next question.
Yeah.
Tonight's the premiere of Thursday Night Football on Fox. As you heard, Aaron's sideline is the Vikings. Christina Pink will be on the Rams' sideline as coverage begins at 7:30 Eastern time on Fox. Aaron, thanks so much for the time. Enjoy tonight's game. And, yeah, just have fun as you have been. We appreciate it.
They said to me, make sure you know that Minnesota is my sidelines. And I was like, here's the thing, guys. My radio interviews go off the rails anyways. We start talking about other things. So it's totally fine.
I was going to ask about Dancing with the Stars.
DeMarcus Ware, how unbelievable has he been? Holy cow.
And we've got Bobby Bones. He's a part of the iHeart Media family
I
here.
I love Bobby Bones. He's hysterical. He about ripped off Sharna's you know, tough. I was so worried about a wardrobe malfunction, but I thought he had the most genuine kind of reaction at the end of that thing. It was so awesome.
No, we are partial to Bobby Bones here on this side. So, yeah, hopefully, yeah, Bobby and DeMarcus can pull through. We'll be watching you tonight. We'll be watching you on Dancing with the Stars. Thanks, Aaron.
Thank you.
Awesome, guys. Thank y'all.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters. Every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how to get comfortable with fear and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern.
People say, what are you afraid of, right? I'm afraid of fear because it's like I want to confront anything in my life that feels challenging on those levels.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.